Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow with just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbisn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
They hear you, so go for it.
I just want to say to everybody, I hope your 4th of July was outstanding. Enjoyed America's birthday.
Hello.
I did. I just got back a couple of hours ago from our very necessary R&R. Go ahead, I'm sorry. And I hope everybody enjoyed themselves immensely. It was great to be with some family and some friends and extended family. And my lovely dog went all over the place on an island. We'll talk about that during the show as well. I was down at what they call in the San Juan in Washington. So it was a blast, and we got home about 3:40 our time in the West. I'm glad to be back. Sorry about last week. Last month it was a little crazy, but we're doing good now. So, waiting
hey,
for Sean. Oh, there you are.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah. But I'm so happy to be here with all of you. And myself. And
it's great to be with you, Sean, this evening. It's one of the greatest things of the whole month. We do it the first part of the month, obviously. Today is the first Tuesday, but can't love to be with you.
Yeah, well, I'll be up there. So you were talking about the fourth of July.
The 4th of July, yeah. We ate a lot. Confession is I drank a drink that I've never had before, and it's a good thing that I'm in a wheelchair because I would have been on my butt if I wasn't. I had this a little bit. I feel pretty good right at the moment. And so how was your 4th of July?
Well, I went to the 4th of July Zoo and aquarium on the 4th. So that was a lot of fun. I got to see so many animals at the zoo. And then we watched the fireworks show from New York. That was fun.
Yeah, I actually planned to watch it. My wife and me recorded that. And hopefully I can talk her into watching it either tonight after the show tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah, it was fun. They had one Republic on there. They had the Golden Bullet They have Reba McIntyre on there.
Wow.
Old boy. So.
I'm glad you had a good time at the zoo. I hadn't been to a zoo in, what, 20 years or something like that?
Really?
So,
wow.
Yeah, it's been a while. Maybe we should go check out the elephants and the giraffes and all that good stuff and sometime soon together.
That'll be a buzz.
You know what I real hate time is I left something on they probably get here something in the background. So I apologize to the turn that off. So
yeah, so I don't know if you want me to do this now, Michael, but
yes, sir. Go for it.
I'm gonna tell you a little bit about myself if I'm new on this show.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the No Bullshit Radio Program with Michael Rogers and Sean Latham.
Sorry, everyone. I was playing a lot more.
I think I've led a very interesting life so far, full of a lot of adventures. I was born in 1979 in Skagit County in Washington State, to my dad Steve and my mom Sandy. I had two older sisters, both of which I dearly love, even though they gave me a hard time growing up. Well, okay, maybe I bought them as well, so I guess we came out equal. I was born with a genetic disease of unknown origin that has left me quadriplegic my whole life, and while I can talk, only some people can understand everything I say, so I use a communication app to help me speak. So early on, my parents taught me, even though I had this rare unknown disability that is similar to cerebral palsy, I should push myself to be like everyone else. Sure, I couldn't walk or had a hard time speaking, but I could still do other things well. I remember as I was growing up, I was able, like every other kid, to play with my friends, have birthday parties, and be included in many events. I remember that me and my childhood friend Aaron used to race up and down our driveways, him on his bike and me in my wheelchair. No to all wheelchair makers thought, the bicycle always won. But it was still cool to run my wheelchairs growing up, all over our yard and family fields. I used to pretend a lot that I was a NASCAR driver like Dale Earnhardt. It was fun, except during the times I got stuck in our horse fields and kids back then, there were no cell phones, so I had to wait a while until someone spotted my stuck wheelchair. Now, after getting stuck a few dozens time, I finally learned my lesson, to be careful in our fields. I also had to learn it may be fun at first to play in the sprinkler with my friends. After a while, your wheelchair gets too wet and shorts out. All the lessons of a preteen. Life also had a lot of adventures with my father. We went on many, and I mean many, camping and fishing trips, where he would tell me about all of his crazy adventures as we waited to see if we could catch trout. My dad also helped create me and my friends a wheelchair-accessible Ford out of an old outbuilding that provided me and my friends hours of fun and time to be creative. My dad and mom also took me on many car rides around all the back roads of Okanagan County, where we lived at the time. I soon learned where I got my love to go where I shouldn't go, because my dad had a knack at finding one-lane roads up big hills. He was a great dad who taught me a lot when I was growing up, and after he passed in the year 2000, it is good to remember all the good, fun, sometimes terrifying, but always entertaining times we had. So after I became a teenager and we moved a few more times, I was encouraged in 1995 when I was 16 by school officials to apply to be a part of the DUIT summer camp program at the University of Washington. DUIT stands for Disabilities, Opportunities, Internet Working and Technology. And it was a camp for high school students with disabilities to learn about college and how to get a job. My 3 summers at this camp, 2 as a scholar and 1 as an intern, was a great learning experience. It brought me, a shy young lad, out of my shell a little bit. Plus, I got exposed to people with different types of disabilities, which would help me later in life. It was for me a life-changing moment because I got to experience what life could be like if I only pushed myself.
Another fruit book.
Wow.
And,
that's impressive, Sean.
Yeah.
You need just a second so you can reload the second part, but I don't even know all that about you. That's cool.
So basically, how to do it.
After high school, I worked with the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation, who helped me more to learn about college and job market, and I attended Big Bend Community College in Moses Lake, where I learned a lot of new things, from astronomy, Shakespeare, and one of my favorites, computer science. I also learned how to work in a team better to get projects done. After a while, I also attended Central Washington University in Ellensburg. Go Wildcats! There I was able to better understand my passion. Yes, I loved working on computers, but I also liked helping people, assisting them with different tasks, as well as learning how people think and act. So I took a lot of sociology and political science classes. I was able to graduate there with a Bachelor of Science in Social Services with minors in Political Science, and what was my former major, Computer Science. My time at college gave me time to grow, understand better my skill set, and understand life is not always a straight line. We weave a lot.
And I did weave a lot.
Sean, first of all, thanks for sharing that. That's very, very impressive. The agency you're talking about is undergoing its DVR, right?
Yeah, DVR, the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation.
Yes, cool. So we had, wanted to make sure the audience, I mean, I thought it was right. We need to reverse this part, so it's kind of nice, too. Anytime you want to talk about that, a little bit more about you, that, feel free, first of all. I consider you one of my best friends, and I didn't know that stuff, so I thought that was really cool. So thanks for sharing.
I know you've been involved with GBI, haven't you?
Yeah, not in the last 30 years, but when I first started when I got out of high school, yeah. But not recently, no. But I have in the past, yeah. You know, and I mean, it's pretty neat that you have and that way we're similar, because you said that cerebral palsy was, it's somewhat similar to this cerebral palsy, and for the listening audience, that's exactly what I have as well. You'll hear the expression CP for short, and I was diagnosed when I was about 3 years old, give or take a couple of months, and I was a Hey, Sean, do you mind if I ask a couple that are not rehearsed? Is that, were you primo? Were you early?
No, I was on time.
See, I was. You were on time. I was early by 2 months. I was born in June. I was supposed to be here in August, so I just tried to speed up the show. So it's wild. So with the college, sometimes you talk about that college experience for our audience. Mainly because the reason I think that is because most people with disabilities haven't got the opportunity to have gone to college. I didn't go to college. I did go to a couple courses, but to finish is a very big accomplishment. So that's very cool. You went to the same school as my wife, by the way.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, even though she wouldn't know she was a bobcat to save her life.
Wildcat.
Yeah, there's a difference.
Yeah.
I did go see the football team there play once. Outstanding. Actually, twice. I went there in Ellensburg and one time they played Disco. It's just a neat... need to know more about you. So, again, thanks for sharing.
I grew up around college because when I was 14, my family moved down to Pullman for 2 years when my father was back. My father got, he had a 2-year degree, but he got a 4-year degree at WSU, Washington State University. And my sister, both my dad and my sister, one of my students graduated from WSU. So even before I went to Temple, I was around at college, so I knew what to expect.
That's wild. I mean, that's pretty cool. Besides the obvious learning your computer skills, and you said that you, what's the best way to phrase it? You know, learned a little bit about yourself. What would you say was the best part of going to college outside of being in the classroom?
Outside of being in a classroom.
Yeah.
I would say being around a lot of different people, people from different backgrounds. Having new experiences. And
new experiences.
I think that's learning. You can do anything you put your mind to, even if you have to adapt some of the ways you use them.
I don't know if you know this, but there's a college down the street called Evergreen State College. I'm really hoping that I go there someday soon. Even though I'm 54 years old as of last month. But to look at going to school and to just to learn.
That would be awesome.
you come to graduation, but graduate, but, you know, and it's interesting that, you know, I think I learned about, I mean, I knew a little bit, obviously we're friends, but the political side of you is interesting because that would be my degree. I would think I would lean toward that degree as well, like political stuff. I kind of need to eat it up for lunch. So it's unique. And that way we're kind of the same.
That's general. Because I mean, my first major was not even political or social. It was computer science. And I thought I was going to do computer science all my life. And that did not happen. So you never know what people a lot of times don't know what they like until they try different stuff out.
That's awesome. You never know until you try something out. You know, you're never too old to learn. And I think you're, you know, because I'm sure a lot of people said, you can go, and boom, I said, I'm going.
And I would recommend maybe you work at a community college to start out with, because
I looked at stuff you've done community college for a couple of courses. At Evergreen, they don't have grades. They do it by, what's the right word? You write it up. And then you get a teacher or professor to go with you and say, okay, that makes sense. So you got to make a plan about you or what you want to learn. So that part is interesting to me. Because, you know, as you know, reading isn't my cup of tea. It's kind of my nightmare. But, you know, I've been listening to a lot of books lately. I know this is off a little bit, but did you enjoy like reading books when you were in school? Was that difficult? Not that, because you can't read, but it's the volume of it.
I would say yes and no. I do like reading, but I'll be honest with you. Some of the classes, the books were not that interesting. So it depends on the topic, and if I thought it was good. So I like reading now. I can read what I want to read now. So.
Well, yeah.
I never told you before. I love the Audible. You know, Audible allows people, if you have a hard time,
it's like a cassette, but it's on your phone, right? Or even on Alexa. One of the things we could also talk to maybe the Library of the Blind, and I think and see if there was like a segment about how to hook people up to do that. And the only problem with that, of course, is there's callers all over the or listeners all over the country. So, but every state has one, so and territory. So I think that might be a good show as well, or a good segment anyway. Wow. Sorry, folks. I'm just thinking because that was kind of impressive. I mean, so did you want anything in particular else you wanted to talk about this evening, buddy?
Well, I have a few more. So I have a few more after calling. So I'll play with them in Temple. This is what I did after that.
During the end of my college experience, I had to do an internship at a non-profit organization. Well, I did not know how lucky I was at the time, because in Ellensburg was a center for independent living. In our state, there are four with six offices. This center was called Central Washington Disability Resources, and I worked there in 2003 to 2004. I have since went to work and partner with the Center for Independence with offices in Lakewood and Marysville the next 15 years. At the centers, I learned how to provide resources to people with disabilities. I learned how to help our participants with goals. I help them advocate to get on or maintain services, and for the past 8 years, I ran three support groups in three different counties. It was a special time at these centers, and I cherish most of all the friendships I made. It was especially thrilling and sometimes fascinating to be able to take people bowling and on a ferry ride one moment, and then the next talk and support each other through issues, plus make arts and crafts at some meetings.
But it was a lot of fun being at the centers, and I miss it. I kind of left the center in February this year, so I missed
it. Because of your new job.
Yeah, because of my new job, I was around the casino. It was a lot of fun, and I really encourage anybody who need any help to work for the Center for Independent Living in your area.
Are they all over the country?
Yeah, they have over 400 of them.
So are they a federal program or a state? Most of them are federal, federally run or state run?
It's a little bit involved. They have it's a federal program that made it. So they give money to the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 for one of those years. But it's a Rehabilitation Act. But they also get additional money.
Shad, forgive me for this because I didn't ask this before so you could put it in, but you used to work there. Is there an email to get a, if you wanted to get in touch with the organization, that organization, that you could email them and find out where your location is?
Well, they have a lot of emails. You probably... This is a national radio, so I would go to, give me 1 minute, and I will find
it. Sure. One of the things we could do, ladies and gentlemen, and we could do that, is look at adding an opportunity to do that at the next show. One of the things I would like to ask is the listening audience is to send us something through the Brain Injury Network. And me and Sean have thought about how to get an email so we could hear from the callers, hear from you, see what kind of shows you would like. So please keep that in mind that we're trying to expand and like I said, be upfront about things, no more BS, and tell people the way straight up about things. But If you have an idea about the show or want to be a guest on our show, reach out to us.
So, hey, you guys have a caller on the line, but I have a trivia question for you guys first. Two of them, actually.
All right.
First trivia question is, who was the first person with a significant disability to be a director of a DVR?
Well, I have I don't know if he was the first person to be with his major. Annette? But my gosh, I
nope.
can't think of
her
last name.
Nope.
In
Do you know Sean? Sean should know this. He's also the father of the independent living movement.
Ed
Roberts, yeah. He was my mentor in college.
Wow.
Yeah, I went to college at USC, and he saw something in me I didn't see. But trivia question number two. How many state and federal institutions still exist in the United States?
I have no idea, but I'd love to know.
I know we have four and five, but I don't know about the U.S.
151 as of today.
Wow.
11 states no longer have them. It used to be 12, but one of the states added one back because they said they couldn't serve the people, which is bullshit. Hence the show, right? Bullshit? But anyway, I'm going to bring your caller on, guys. I have no idea who it is. He has his hand up, and give me 1 second. And it is 765. You're live with Mike and Sean.
How are you walking on the show?
Well, hold on. It's not clicking for some reason. Ugh. Technology sometimes. I'm on two computers. Let me go to my other computer and click them for her or them or whoever. All right, there we go. You are live, 765. Sorry about that.
Hi, Mike and Sean, assistant. It's a him. I just want to congratulate you on the use of technology and the IEP or the PIE, I guess. I don't know. I failed in both of them, but that was, probably 2010, 2009. Those were worse years, you know. Injury was June 2005. I talked to y'all before. I'm at a friend's house. But I just want to congratulate you on the use of technology and getting through your college and relying on the state or federal to help you for the resources. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I will tell you.
Was there an answer to the trivia question one?
Yeah, so the first one, it was Ed Roberts. And Ed Roberts, he went to he actually, I'll give you a little history on him since he was my mentor. He was kind of the first time I met him, I was volunteering at a place called Head with Horses. And Ed Roberts was quadriplegic, and he had an iron lung. And he came up, and he wanted to talk to me, and I have no clue why. And, you know, I was a little nervous because, I could tell he was something special. But he goes, well, leave me and Craig here alone. Craig will take care of me. And I was like, what? So the caregiver takes off, and I was scared. But he told me what he needed, and that was the first, and I never changed my mindset since then. Always ask what people need. You know, don't assume, because they'll let you know if they need something. You know, otherwise you're disempowering them. But he went to UC Berkeley, and he had a fight to get in UC Berkeley. They did not want to let him in. As a matter of fact, they made it as hard as possible for him to get into the college because it just was unheard of. And so they made him go upstairs. And so he convinced other students to carry his iron lung, his wheelchair, up and down the steps for 5 years.
Wow.
But this is after he went to DVR. you know, this wonderful place that, well, it's not so wonderful, this place that can be challenging to navigate the system. And they said, Mr. Roberts, you are so disabled, you will never work a day in your life. And he got depressed. I mean, who wouldn't, right? Yeah. You're told you're not going to be anything. So he refused to believe that. He got his courage up. And after about a year and a half, he finally got accepted into UC Berkeley. He graduated with a bachelor's in social work, and he did go on to get a master's later on. But he became the director of the Southern California Division of Vocational Rehab and fired the guy that told him that. Not because he told him that, but because he refused to change his mindset on the possibilities. And then him and Judy Heumann and another group of people, you know, we've had some real heroes ahead of us that did sit-ins. You know, matter of fact, the longest sit-in in history is 61 days by Judy Heumann, Ed Roberts, and that group down in that same area, and they sat in until they signed what was the disability, was a 504 Act back then.
California or Washington or?
California. It was California. California used to actually get things done. Now, not so much no more, but they used to, you know, they were trendsetters.
I've heard about
Schwarzenegger's
weights in the prisons. Yeah, they took them all out. So 2009, I could have a case against Ball State University and residential property management. Dr. Carla Earhart and Dr. Sue Whitaker. But, you know, just like they didn't want me to go forward, they tested out of some bachelor classes and had a previous bachelor of science. So I was trying with masters, and yeah, there's no cooperation. That's terrible that there's no elevator in the building, and they had the classmates. That's awesome that they helped a guy get up there. You know, five floors. Wow.
Right. Well, keep in mind, this is the '60s. This happened. So.
Right. Wow.
You know.
Right.
So you had classes with Craig then?
With Ed, I didn't have classes. I ended up doing my internship when I went through him, through the Center for Independent, and he was just starting it out and, you know, getting mandated, and I learned a lot. It wasn't the field that I would ultimately be in, but it led me to a field that's in the same systems, you know, creating system changes, and we have a long ways to go.
So my vocational rehabilitation counselor did not want me to pursue that position. I'm like, I'm no threat to you. I'm not going to come to Warsaw, Indiana, you know. It was very odd.
You know,
I went to a very challenging program, Information and Communication Sciences, and I've been out of school for like 13 years. You know, note-taking was a big problem, even spelling words, you know. Getting fixated on one word to how it's spelled, and the professors send five slides down or, you know, three pages in the book. So do you know of the Sarasota, Florida, independent living? Do you know that guy's still there?
I do not, but I know they have several there in Florida.
So what state re-upped again today?
I'm in Washington, but I was in Southern California when I was there. And I also know on Tuesday nights, Les Paul, he's with from Aikens and Walton's Options, which is another state independent living center, and they do a good job. And I do some things with April, and that's Association of Persons in Rural Independent, whatever it stands for. It's a youth program, and so and that's kind of been my path because I think youth need to have hope while they're
absolutely
in school, and they need to fight to be taught. And it's scary, as crappy as that is. They're not teaching our kids, and they need
nobody
to get back to
teaching.
Nobody
else is fighting for them. Nobody else, and you know. What state started the program, re-upped the program today?
Today? What do you mean today?
You said as the data, there's 151.
Oregon is opening. Oregon is opening up a state institution as we speak.
Well, you guys are pretty blessed over there on the West Coast up and down the ocean because there's, you know, something that cancels pharmaceuticals. And, you know, you probably don't have the extra 35 pounds of weight from those pharmaceuticals. I'm in the wonderful
right.
Eli Lilly state of Indiana. Yeah. The old Rockefeller is rocking, you know.
Yeah, well, Indiana, believe it or not, is one of the states that has closed theirs. They have no state or federal institutions for people with disabilities.
Yeah.
There's a neuro rehab center through Dr. Trexler and through Rehabilitation Hospital of Indiana, and it's collusion. You know, it's where the NASA, the I guess NASCAR now too, but Indy 500 when the wrecks and stuff, they got checked out. And yeah, he kind of it's monopoly. It's pretty sad. I got to get out of this.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. Even though state institutions might be closing, something else opens up to take its place, and some of the rehabilitation centers are worse than state institutions. You know, they take your rights away. They treat you like crap. They lock you up. They control you, and you did no crime. You're just trying to get well.
Yeah. Help, right. Do you know how many are in Texas?
I think Texas has like 14.
So
they're huge.
Okay. Yeah, Texas is the fourth largest right now.
So how do I find that? Just type into Google, Independent Living Center, Texas? Okay.
Yeah, just Google it. Or actually, you can go to, it's SILC, Silk State Independent Living Centers.org, and that'll take you to their main site.
So the S stands for state? I never knew that.
Yeah, State Independent Living Centers. And then, and they're all over, and they're federally mandated that every state have them. So every state has an independent living center, but supposed to. Like my city has one where I live in Green Acres, but it's crap. It's just absolutely crap. I mean, it's been that way ever since I had my injury. So.
And you don't have an interest to change that?
No, I mean, I'm involved in so many battlefields right now. I may, you know, if I ever get through, or you know, I mean, I'm in so many battles. You can't piss everybody off at once.
Oh, I know all about that, because they are polluted themselves, and they know when you're coming what was spoken to the other. So where Gonzaga is at, where Craig is there a center there?
Yeah. Yeah, that's Spokane. That's the one that's crappy.
Spokane, right.
No.
Oh, really? You're kidding me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Seattle on the other side of the mountains, on the dark side, as I call it, only because they live over there and I live over here. But on the dark side, they have three, and a couple of them are. You know, a couple of them do a pretty good job. You know, they do a pretty good job over there. But here, they don't have to.
So the Three Sisters Mountains are south of you about 100 miles then, huh?
Well, Three Sisters, they are east or west of me. I'm about 325 miles away from the Seattle area.
Oh, wow.
I'm almost on the Idaho border.
In Oregon? Is that Washington?
No, I live in Washington.
Washington. You did say that. All right, well, I want to say stay away from Way International, the church. It's cult. Anyway, I know that's pretty big out there, out on the west.
Yeah, and the thing is, anytime you get this big conglomerate trying to serve people, well, they're not trying to serve people. They, you know, maybe in the beginning they do, but then they become a money-making, they become a business,
right.
And that's their bottom line, just money, not people.
Oh, it goes from .org, .net to, you know, why aren't you a .com? It's ridiculous.
Right.
It depends on the staff. You know, some of the staff. Other staff.
Okay.
Yeah, and Sean, you actually, at the time you were going through your thing, Von Ellison would have been the director, right?
Yeah, Von was my first boss.
Yep. Yeah, I know her real well.
Yeah, she left. But she no one.
So, what part of the country are you from there? You're from Florida? You see what you're saying?
Oh, I've been here and there, but I'm in Indiana.
Okay.
northeast, and closer to Ohio, and I guess Ohio's closer than Michigan, but not too much further away.
And so Indiana
is
not.
I was in Sarasota 2014 and 15, and I spent a lot of time there at the Independent Living Center, just the brain injury portion. You know, it was once a month meeting, and I had some other things going on there. Through some contacts that had brain injuries, you know, and yeah, what was your question? I haven't really been the Dr. Trexler kind of they'll help who they want to help, you know what I'm saying, based on connections and who family or what resources they have brought you in there, you know.
Right. So what do you find better that served people, Indiana or Florida?
Cannabis. Neither. But you're blessed
okay.
on the west. You're blessed on the west, my friend. And I'm not saying overdue, you know. There's a thing. I know Les. I met Les Paul and his lady and Debbie Wilson. Spent time with her when she moved to Illinois. And, yeah, her father was a federal judge out of Tampa, Florida, and most of his cases were in Atlanta, Georgia, and here she is, you know, after she gets her fourth or fifth brain injury that she's developing her trial with different things for grandma seizures, and, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, mine was a brain injury, so... But, you know, it don't matter how you get there. It's how you survive from that point.
Right on. So you were able to concentrate and get through class? You could get 6 hours a semester, or was that before your brain injury?
No, I had my brain injury after I got my degree.
Yeah, me too.
Otherwise, I don't know that I would have got finished it. But I can tell you this, you know, I teach, and so I get no respect as a person with a disability, none whatsoever. You know, because I do have some shortfallings, I'll just leave it at that. I have some things that I don't do as well as I used to, and, you know, fact being I maybe was never really good at it, but my injury did not help them.
Amen.
And
what is your name?
The college will not accommodate me.
No, I know.
And
it's
teach
the
there.
Law. It's against the law, right. Well, that's crazy. How many students do you have in a class at the most?
I've had up to 25.
And you can handle that for 50 minutes or an hour and a half?
Hour and 20 minutes. Barely.
Exactly.
Barely,
they got their phones
yeah.
out, you know, and they're talking. They're more than passing notes, right?
Right. And, you know, it's not so much the students as it is the politics that goes on in a college.
Oh, I guarantee you, faculty. Oh, my goodness. Right.
Yeah,
so you
that's
have no
what
support
drives me
through
crazy.
Your mentor. Through your coworkers, you have no support.
No, they, because I look fine. That's what they look at me and they say,
right.
you know, they
oh,
think
I
look fine.
Yep, I know. What is your name?
I'm Craig.
Is Craig Sawyer? No way.
Yeah, it is, yes. How are you doing?
It's not Monday, Craig. It didn't sound like you at all.
Well, this is Sean and, Michael's show. And their goal is to close institutions that are crap, you know, and create more independent, person-centered, you know, things where people can live independently with the supports they need. And so I'm here to support them in their mission.
That's amazing. I knew you taught, and, wow, oh, my gosh. Because you kind of did your own thing and had classes with more impaired disabled, you know, that – you have your own your live show, and they would be going on, you know, for an hour and a half, and it's awesome. Who's going to give them that time?
And I still do that, and you just gotta empower people any way you can, and you know, not everybody's going to run with it, but you know, the ones that do are the ones that are meant to.
Right.
Well, I'm going to throw Kim and Matt up in them categories with those people that we don't like, but I know that they're kind of your dot-comers, so you go forth on that. But thanks for your time.
Right, and you know, I don't like everybody, but I try to get along the best I can.
You got to pass the baton somewhere, right?
You do, absolutely, yeah, because you can, you know, one person can only do so much, and so you need a team, and you're not going to like everybody that's
amen.
On your team.
Amen.
But as long as they can... spread awareness and their heart's in the right spot, you know, because we're all so different. And then with a brain injury, we really take things personal.
So we got Fantastic Frank down to Florida, and then he disappeared pretty much 3 months after he returned back to New York. It's kind of weird, but I guess he gave some information out. I don't know. I'm not to know anything, but I don't know. I go forth and encourage all of us. It so does not sound like you, but thank you for your time.
Oh, you bet. Well, that's because I'm on a weird phone. You have a great night.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold, and you can listen to these guys. And Sean and Michael, I'm sorry if I talk too much. I don't try to do that.
No, it's fine. It's all good. So we appreciate the participation.
Go Suns, right?
And,
go Suns.
feel free to call back at the next show.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You betcha.
So that 2 weeks then? So less is every other week?
Less is every other week. And they're
once a month.
They're the first Tuesday. I'm second and fourth Tuesday. My band has been on tour, so I've missed quite
a few
shows.
Dude.
But
that's awesome.
And my music's a little off. It's from the worst of times.
Well, you got you do basketball, you do summer camp stuff, and it's who else does that? Who else does that, Greg?
You're right. Yeah, so you just do what you can, right? And then have fun
involved,
doing it. If you're not
included,
having fun,
amen.
You're doing it wrong.
That's it. Life is too short.
So who's on Monday then?
So I'm on the second and fourth Monday. We have on the first Monday we have a Canadian a group of people from Vancouver, BC, and they do a great show. And on the third Monday, it's two veterans, and I can't remember the name of their show, but right now 28 different shows that are running each month.
That's great. So who is in Minnesota? I was thinking that I forgot it was Washington for Michael and Sean. I told somebody, hey, call in, and I put EMN for Minnesota, because we were talking about San Diego. The radio was on. I don't know if it was live. And I'm like, oh, my God, how's your last name? I didn't get no feedback. I'm 8 miles north of home, and there's no data out here. You can't get 1-2-G. Can't, communicate. I'm using my friend's phone. He's more severe disabled, and he wrecked his motorcycle, right, the week after he graduated. So he's in my class in 90, and, 31 years of brain injury in a month. And, he didn't walk for, 25 years. And to see him progress is awesome.
Yeah, he got encouraged along the way. It's all about encouragement and empowerment.
Amen.
Well, thank you, guys.
All right, so I'm going to put you back in the queue so you can listen. If you want to talk again, just click the button, and I'll know that you want to talk again.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, Michael and Sean, I'm going to shut up. I'm going to mute myself. You guys get yakking.
All right. We appreciate the breather. All right. Sean, we heard that's it worked out. Well, it was a little rough. But we have about, a little bit more than an hour of the show left. We're here every month at the first Tuesday of the month, these are recorded, so you can rewatch them if you so choose. One of the things I wanted to talk about was. And we're going to have some guests in the next couple of shows about hopefully on a continual basis. So Sean knows what I'm talking about, the closing down campaign to close down the RNCs or the institutions. There's that there. We also would like, we're going to start doing, I think we'll be in John and thought about doing this, is an ad campaign to keep it on the radar. So one of the things I'm going to start looking at is what the rest of the country's got. So thanks to the producer for helping with that today. But we got to start making a little bit of noise. One of the things I was thinking about, Sean, is how do I say this on the radio? you know, we've been always fighting about getting at a table, being at the table when people make the decisions. I'm starting to think that we need to make our own table and then see what happens. It does seem odd to me that, you know, and I know you're working on a lot of things in your new job, and if there's anything that you'd like to say about any of that, let me know. But it's just like we're fighting for crumbs, and I want to make cake, you know, and eat it. Have her cake and eat it too. That is an expression my dad used to say. Because, you know, it's important. The other thing I would like to say, and this is a little bit difficult for me, and I didn't get to talk to Sean about it a little bit before the show, is if you have a disability today or just had a new injury, welcome to the club. It's nothing to be ashamed of, and you'll be proud of who you are. You know, I have, in the last month or so, have had to deal with some family issues about my acceptance of my wheelchair, and that kind of throws you when you've been with the same family for 53 years, because that's our 54 years. It's interesting, Sean, to me that some family members don't have problems with it, but they covered it up well for a long, long time. And I'm just going to say, you know, don't let that disturb you too much, and they'll get over it. If they don't, it's their problem, not yours. So I wanted to make that announcement. It's okay to have a disability. It's all right, you know. Great things have happened because of it. One of the greatest things is in the other room, and that's my wife. And Sean and me are friends, and that's, I think, groovy. But if we didn't have a disability, we probably wouldn't have known each other. So there's always good, and sometimes it sucks. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes, you know, 99% of the time, 99.2, I would think, you know, it doesn't bother me too much. The part of my disability that bothers me the most is my reading, but if you have the right people in your life that it doesn't matter, they can read for you and you listen, you can still learn. So if you want to pursue school, you should pursue school. School is all that is the ability to want to learn. And if we can be of any assistance, we're going to have a segment on technology periodically as well with Sean leading the way with that. I use a software called Jaws and Dragon. I'm actually trying to figure out how to get Jaws and Dragon to be on the show, Sean, like the people who make it. I hear that Jaws, is that right? No, Dragon is now bought out from Microsoft. We're working on it, see what happens.
Yeah, Microsoft by the way,
we'll have segments about that. So please let us know what you think about segments that you would like or guests that you would recommend. And please give us the information and get a hold of them. And we'll try to get them to come on the show. One of the things, Sean, I would like to talk about next time to everybody is and it doesn't sound like a brain injury situation so much, and that's my diabetes. The reason I like to talk about it on the Brain Injury Network is we have to do a good job of taking care of ourselves. So next time I might have a segment, if you're all right with it, about my diabetes and how, you know, how I'm trying to control it. And sometimes, I got to be honest, you have to go on the wagon, and it's hard to go on the wagon. Even though I don't drink that much, because it's all about sugars, how much sugar you're taking. So I think we should have a health segment, so we'll work on that if you're okay with that. But can do a health segment on one of the other things is I was looking at trying to get a hold of Quickie And but wait a minute before people think I've had instead of dirty word. Quickie is the name of the company who makes the wheelchair that we that I use. I believe, Sean, don't you use a Quickie too?
Yeah, I do.
So I'm trying to get a Quickie distributor, and they're about a their company now is bought out of Suncoast. So trying to get a distributor to be on the air with us, working on that.
I'm going to so I have a little pinwheel right now, if you want.
Okay, I also wanted to share a message from a friend of mine, Julie Clark, who chooses to live in the community. She is a part of the Shutdown Coalition, a coalition that is fighting to close down large segregated facilities and instead support individuals like Julie in the community.
I'm gonna play a video.
Sure.
I'll be playing it.
My name is Julie Clark, and I am using my Toby Dynavox speech device to share my message about why I feel no one needs to live in an institutional setting. These are my own words, and my speech device will help me get them out clearly. Cerebral palsy is my disability. I am 54 years old, and I live in Lacey. I was in Western State Hospital for 3 months in 2001. CoQL is a residential provider, and they got me out of the hospital in September of that year and put me into my apartment with day and evening caregivers. I was in independent living. In independent living, my caregivers did cook and clean. I was able to come and go as I pleased. My transportation was using public transportation. Being independent was especially important to me because I could set my schedule. I chose how to run my life. I worked for the Department of Health and Human Services as a secretary for 17 years before I retired in 2018. Working was essential to me because I was involved, contributing to my community. I was an important member of that organization for many years. The United Churches of Olympia is my church, and I have been going there for over 25 years. I am an active member of my church. The church is important to me. As I aged, I could not take care of myself. I needed to have 24-hour care. So, CoQ placed me in a shared home that CoQ runs. I had a roommate who was yelling all the time. My roommate would assault the caregivers. Being in the shared home was not safe for me. In November 2019, I moved to an apartment in Lakeview with CoQ's help. I get 24-hour care. A nurse comes to check up on me because my hair is high. I have a feeding tube, vest shift compression machine, and hair lift. My caregivers go everywhere I go. It is nice to be living on my own again. I was in and out of the hospital with pneumonia for the last 6 months of 2019. Shelley is a nurse that CoQ has hired. She has taught me how to breathe better. I have not been to the hospital with Shelley's help since January 2020. I am in community inclusion, a part of a supported employment program that allows me to continue to be active in my community now that I am retired. It is still essential for me to be involved in the community. I do a lot of advocacy and volunteer work. When I was in an institution, I could not do what I can do in the community. I am pleased to be in the community to set my schedule and be involved in whatever activities I choose. I have all the freedom that my health will allow, and I am grateful to be an active part of my community. A group of self-advocates was formed known as the Shut Them Down Coalition, and I am a member of this group. This group wants to close all the residential rehabilitation centers, RHCs, to allow all of these individuals to be active members of their community. I strongly believe that all disabled people should live in the community and that nobody should live in an RHC. Will you sign a petition to shut them down?
Thank you for sharing, Julie. And thank you Sean for bringing us her voice, because she couldn't be here this evening.
Yeah, but thank you, all the Judy R, a lot of them, for helping do the video.
Cool. The Ark of Washington, we appreciate you as well.
But amazing story. Of living in the Tuesday and being able to live on the own with 24 hours in the community. So that is really awesome in here. And so we will do another story next month.
Okay. We'll look forward to that. And we also, when things change in Julie's life, ask her if we can do it again. Add a piece to it if things happen in her life. Wow, that's just cool. That's real cool. Wow, we got so much work to do. It's crazy. If you want to help us, we also wanted you to know at least that looking at the different platforms, I'm looking at a web, making put help with my page on the website, and so there's different things going on with that, and it's nice. The vacation was nice, but it's how fortunate I am to be on the radio show with you, Sean. So, I feel about you, but I just wanted you to know publicly that I thank you for being on with me. It is an absolute blast. So, we have... I'm sorry, say, Sean, you broke up a little bit. I missed you.
Oh, I bet it's been wonderful working with you.
You're
my favorite host as well.
Yeah, and we do have some other ideas, not quite up the sleeve yet, but working on it. Different things like that. So we'll let you know when we have new opportunities have developed. It's been an interesting ride, and we thank the Brain Injury Network for letting us be on. So the other thing I wanted to talk about was this evening was. I know it's a little bit odd, but yesterday was America's birthday, and how much we have to be looking forward to people who have disabilities, who want to own their own business, want to own their own house, with their own supports. And one of the things I thought about, Sean, when you were doing your presentation today about a little bit about your life is how do we maybe start a fund that helps people, younger folks, go to college with a disability. And I got a lot of things because of this show to think about it, maybe try to figure out to make them happen so we could be help somebody along the way. But if you really want to do something in your life, feel free to go get it. Sure, you might fall down, but get back up and keep on striving. The other thing is, I don't know how to do this on a radio show, but you guys were talking about a movie earlier that I saw. It might not even mention the movie. It was called Crip Camp. and how much the movement changed. It's hard over the radio, of course, to explain that movie, but I can give you a plug. I think it's great. I will say that I would bring some Kleenex. A lot of people did a lot of things that makes me look like child, like, you know, we're still in recess compared to what they had to go through. I remember one scene deliberately, like, remember the movie Rocky? Have you ever seen that? The first one. And he climbs up these, he runs up the stairs. Well, there's a little girl crawling up the stairs. And I believe, actually, that was very impactful to me, for me, because I did the same thing to get away in a weightlifting class when I was little. So it's just interesting how many people say you can't, but I say you can. We're going to do that a lot in this show. It's try to give you examples of what you can do and not worry about what you can't do. We can do, I mean, even in Scripture, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, it's a belief. If you believe that, you'll accomplish a lot.
So I got to share something with you guys.
Sure.
So it's a song that a friend of mine wrote, and tell me if you know who this is singing it. It's called Disability Train.
You don't need no special education, just get on board. You don't need no fancy certification, just get on board. You don't gotta have a perfect pedigree or be a member of high society. All you've gotta do is get on board. Get on board this train to freedom. Get on board. Get on board this train to freedom. Get on board. Now you can walk on to this train to freedom. Get on board. And you can roll on to this train to freedom, get on board, and you can crawl onto this train to freedom. All you gotta do is grab hold and get aboard, 'cause together we are riding to freedom. We are riding this train to freedom, the self-advocacy train to freedom. Grab hold and get aboard. It doesn't matter if your skin is brown or white, if you roll through life or you walk upright, you can get on board this train to freedom. Get on board this train to freedom. Get on board. Get on board this train to freedom. Get on board. It doesn't matter if you are straight or gay, a woman or man with unequal pay. All you've got to do is grab hold, get aboard, 'cause we are riding together to freedom. We're gonna ride this train to freedom. The disability ride the train to freedom. Grab hold, get on board, 'cause together we are going to freedom. Together we are riding to freedom. We are riding this train to freedom. Grab hold now and get on board. Yeah.
Wow.
So that was Judy Heumann.
Really?
Oh,
yep.
That's cool.
And if anyone knows about how hard the train is, that's the girl right there, and she's had lots of obstacles in her life.
And Zero Bell going,
I would flip if she was one of our guests. I was like, okay. She's in D.C. still. I'm living in D.C. now.
Yeah, she's been on the presidential educational committee, God, for 35 years now.
Awesome. Awesome.
And if you ever get a chance, look up TED Talks, Judy Heumann. She talks about when she went to college, because, you know, she's one of the first women in history with a significant disability to get a degree too. And she got a teacher's degree, and when she went to get her license, she passed the written, she passed the practicum, but they gave her a special one. How do you use the bathroom? And they flunked her. And so she had to get a lawyer, and a lawyer came out of the woodworks and represented her for free back in the late 60s, and she finally got her teacher's certificate. And, you know, so even though she did all the things she's supposed to do, they still weren't going to give her her shot.
Wow.
I mean, nothing happens without a fight sometimes. I think legislators have stopped listening. I think we need to chain ourselves to their houses. I don't know where we need to get, how we get their attention, but they aren't paying attention no more.
Well, I don't
know. I know some that are. A few that, but remember, we changed the sub-minimum wage in our state because somebody was paying attention. But we do seem to take one step forward and two steps back sometimes. But I think overall we'll win the battle.
Yeah, well, I don't know. So in 2019, the federal government mandated that our state reduce its capacity by 50%, and then COVID hit. Next thing you know, we're building a damn new institution on institution properties, you know, spending hundreds
right.
and hundreds and so. They're saying 120. I bet you it ends up costing $300 million. I bet you. They never stay in budget.
Overruns, overruns, overruns.
Never get up here.
So, where did you get that song, I must ask?
What's that?
Where did you get that song?
Well, I have a whole segment. I'll have to play it. So it's too long. But, yeah, we did a segment called the Disability Train. And so she talked about her story and, you know, the fight and advocacy and, you know, even though.
I'm going to ask it right now on the air. Can you play another piece of that next show?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think the whole thing is about, and she talked about, it's called, I can't remember what it's called, but it's Freedom, Power, and Choice. Was her thing, and you know how everything, you know, if it's important, you have to fight for it. But just because you win today doesn't mean you can't lose it tomorrow. It's a constant fight.
Right.
You know, and if you let them take a step back, a couple steps backwards, it's hard to get those steps back. And as progressive as Washington is, it's ridiculous that we have any institutions.
Yeah, we're still going to win. I mean, hopefully in our lifetime, man. Hopefully in our lifetime.
I've been watching The Flash. I'm going to invent one of them things, and I'm going to time warp them to like
I love it, bro. I want to see them calm down. And then I also want to be, you know, be my group home. Have a little more power, too. Okay.
I agree, and I think our biggest problem is that our community is divided, and I think that's purposeful by our government. You know how they got us to, you know, you got this group, you know, the autism group, you got the CP group, you got all these groups. We need to have a group that's fight because we all want the same thing.
Right.
And together we have one loud voice. But if they separate us and keep us separated, they can mute our voices out.
Yeah.
And I don't know the solution to that, but we need to figure it out.
Well, I'll do it there. I mean, one of the great things about I've got to be never. To find a bus to the aisles and it's more club than the pub.
Yeah, and we're doing the right things. We're fighting, but you know, I hope in the end we come together and turn that all of our talk into action. And you know, and I'm not saying we need to be violent, but we can't just take no for an answer anymore.
Right.
Hey, buddy, you know, and violence. violence never wins anything, because if you're violent, you make people afraid of you, and that's the last thing we need.
Because
they already don't. They're already afraid of us because they don't know who we are.
I'll be out of the studio for just a minute, Sean, okay?
I'm the white alive boy. Yeah, I'm gonna play my game about 3 months ago. I'm gonna play it right now.
Okay.
So now I'm going to share with all of you how we and other states with large developmental disabilities institutions got here and what we need to do to close down the institutions. Institutions started in the 1800s by individuals of different communities that saw people with developmental disabilities not being supported. However, due to the Civil War and economic issues afterwards, these developmental disabilities institutions were turned into places to remove us from society, treat us like prisoners, and take our civil rights away. Things got even worse in 1900, when the eugenics movement took hold. This movement led to the forced sterilization of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. This just means many females were stopped physically from having children. We also saw during this time and even still now, people being over-medicated and abused, just because society has seen us throughout history as less than a human being and that our lives really didn't matter. In Washington State, at the height of the developmental disability institutional model, over 4,000 individuals resided in them. Luckily though, during the civil rights movement of the 60s and the start of the self-advocacy movement of the 70s, people started to witness that developmental disability institutions were more like a prison than a home to support and assist people to be independent. It was from this time until now that many of our country's institutions closed, and those with intellectual and developmental disabilities got to experience real life in the community with real supports. I am personally thankful that I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and that I had parents who saw me as an individual with potential. Sure, they were still encouraged in 1980, when I was one, by some doctors to place me in a developmental disability institution, but at this time in history, they saw that I would have way more opportunities to succeed in the community than being locked away out of it. They were absolutely right. I was able to grow up pretty normally. I attended public school, and again my parents fought and succeeded to have me attend a regular class and not a special education class, which is also often used to segregate kids with disabilities. I was then able to go to college at Central Washington University and get a degree in social services. Since then I've had multiple jobs helping those with disabilities be happy and succeed in life, and in my current job, I advocate that their civil rights are upheld, as we see other minority groups doing. I am like others that are leading independent lives by hiring in home care providers to help us with our personal needs. I'm able to hire, manage and fire my providers on my own, and I'm also able to make decisions on my own with very little support. So, this brings me to today. While we have made progress in our state, we have a ways to go. There are still 584 individuals residing in our remaining 4 developmental disability institutions in Washington State. The institutions are the following: Rainier School in Buckley, Faircrest in Shoreline, Yakima Valley School near Yakima, and Lakeland Village in Medical Lake. While these places have improved slightly since the 60s, they still operate like a nursing home facility instead of like a home. We know we can do better, and we are doing better for thousands of individuals who access care in the home or in residential settings like state-operated living alternatives, companion homes, adult family homes, and supportive living homes. While each one of these places vary in support, they are all located in the community and allow individuals to go to town, get a job, socialize with friends, have access to community doctors, and much, much more. These residential settings aren't perfect, and us advocates will probably keep asking legislators for changes to them. But they do support people in their local community. They do provide nursing-level care in smaller residential settings. And they also get us away from a housing model that for nearly 200 years have been viewed by many people with intellectual and developmental disabilities as frightening, trauma-inducing, and isolating. Not to mention the safety aspect in this new COVID world, where we need to get away from our large segregated facilities to keep us healthy. To wrap up my part, we are demanding with the governor and our state legislators today to move us forward and not backwards. We are demanding with them to build more community residential options and not congregate living options. The developmental disability community has asked our state to build smaller four-bedroom homes that can provide the same kinds of services in a far less segregated setting than a large congregate setting. I will put the link to our alternative proposal in the chat. Finally, from me, we demand that they close the remaining institutions and choose community, and we hope you inform your readers or listeners that people with intellectual and developmental disabilities are human beings, and we deserve, like everyone else, to live in our community and be able to lead successful lives. I hope you agree with that, Mike.
You know, I agree.
Darn straight, I do. I absolutely do. Down to my core, all the way down to my being. You know,
yeah.
It seems kind of nuts that we still have, it's 2001, we're still, that we still have to think about all that stuff. Like, really? Like, the basics in life. I don't know. I'm not as, you wouldn't say I'm a smart character sometimes, but I don't get it. First of all, it costs more money, and second of all, is this the right thing to do? I mean, you know, we have, I don't understand. I think that's right on, you know? So we'll have a segment or two or maybe even three sometimes about that. And we're actually going to do a little announcement that we're going to start running on all the shows to keep it. There's federal legislation that's going to change or might change the bias. And the bias is that the institution is you have to sign a waiver to get out of the institution. And that what we're trying to change is have it be the opposite way around, where the community is the choice and the RHC is the, you have to wait, get a waiver to go in that. So, you know, it's just backwards, and we'll keep working on it. But Senator Murray in our state is working on that. I'll find other sponsors as well. I forgot the number of the bill that would change the institutional bias. But I will.
Yeah, let me work my out for you.
I lost it. I had it in my head, but I lost it. But I hope that we can, we'll definitely run a commercial about that law. I believe it will be introduced. I have no illusions how difficult that bill will pass, hard to pass, but we need to get it done. So that's at a federal level. So we need all help we can get, because then it would change our state's rules about how we do it, because then the feds change it, because CMS makes them change it. And one of the things is, and if you're from CMS, if you're listening to the show tonight, please feel free to reach out to us. I would love to talk to you about how in the world is some of the rules that you guys come up with and have advocates at the table. Don't worry, that was just Alexa in the studio reminding me to take my medicine after the show because it comes on every – I have it on every night. It's now – but I'm fine. But I just wanted you to know that, you know, we got to win that one. If we win that one, other people have a better opportunity to have a life. And, you know, I'm very fortunate my mom didn't, but it breaks my heart that I even thought about asking you to that in 1980. That's crazy. I graduated from high school in 86. I know what it feels like to not be able to go to school with my brothers and sisters. I couldn't go to school until I was in the eight years old.
Wow.
I went to a school called Eloise Jaffet, so to speak, and the reason I say so to speak is it was all segregated. You know, and I guess I've always been a little bit behind the eight ball, but that's why you have a chip on your shoulder. Like, here, yeah. I got to prove something. Now I finally realize that at 54, you're not proving anything to anybody but yourself. I mean, I'm halfway through my life. So you got to do what you need to do and be proud of yourself. So I know I've said that a lot tonight, but I really do think about being proud of yourself matters. And I'm proud of you for going to school and making the man that you've made yourself. And I'm kind of like, wow, they actually told you that you wouldn't make much. You've kind of made a liar out of them, big guy.
I've told a lot of people right now, but you know, one thing I've been told is disability is a part of human life. We all, at one point in our life, will have a disability if we live old enough. But we need to be nice to each other and support each other. And we have to know the limits on what people can and cannot do. So, yeah.
That's awesome, man. We're all in this together. It's I've heard the expression, it takes a village. Well, why don't we help each other? Like, you know, we're all, I don't know Garth Brooks directly, but there is a song about, where he talks about, he made the song in the early 80s about just. Yeah, go ahead. Tell me the name of the song, Sean. You're so much better
I'll be free.
Yeah.
One
line. We help each other out and we'll be free, you know? We're all in this together. It's called the human race. I don't have permission to play it, and I don't want to get sued because I don't have a boot. But it is. I'm only saying, you know, or beat. But I just think it's like it's up to us to say that's going to change, you know. So I didn't mean to be downer. I didn't mean it that way. But it's also thinking how far we've got come too. But I appreciate you sharing your story about where you've come from. That's the beat. I don't know if she heard that. So you're definitely. Is upbeat.
Like I said, we all have, I believe we all have disabilities and abilities, so we need to focus on the ability to speak more.
Right on.
If we focus on what we can do Max of my most skills. We can be susceptible no matter what we want to do in life.
You know, I mean, my favorite experience in my lifetime, in my working life, besides working for the department for 25 years, which is kind of nuts. I'll have that in December, December 9th. But the biggest accomplishment is enough confidence in myself and my wife having it and friends having it in me to apply for the Seattle Mariners job. Yeah, scanning tickets, it wasn't that big a deal. But being in a chair, being able to do your dreams, you only have one shot at this life. You know, I personally believe in the afterlife, but, you know, it's just kind of cool about you got to go for broke. I mean, there's no guaranteed about tomorrow. So that's a reminder for all of us.
But, Michael, I have a question. How are the Mariners doing?
They're actually, I mean, they're in third place. I'm not going to kid, but they're what, as of, I haven't been home for the last couple of days, so I haven't been near a television set, but they've been playing pretty decent ball. Tech, I mean, I feel bad for Texas. They're 19 games out, 19 and a half out. Oakland, but they're right, they're, you know, six games or seven games out of this thing, but it could very well be in the American League West this year. They're the best division in baseball. That the wild card comes out of there too. So both wild cards come out of there.
That would be nice.
I didn't hear you.
Oh, I said that would be nice.
Oh, that would be nice. Yeah. That would be a miracle, and would make me do the jig in a wheelchair. I'll tell you that. We haven't been to the playoffs in so long. I have nephews that have never seen us in the playoffs, and they're in their 20s. yeah, I'm hoping we can get there, even though I'm already gone and working on different things. But I do have good news as far as local transportation goes, and hopefully other callers in the country can tell us if COVID's getting better for you or not as far as your transportation goes. On the 19th of this month, which is like, what, 12 days from now, give or take, that local bus service will be able to go outside of Thurston County, which is the county that I live in. And so I can actually go to Seattle. I'm looking forward to that. Maybe even come see you with a little help figuring out how to get there. But, yeah, that's changing too. So the other thing is that I haven't talked to Sean about it, my partner, but maybe one of these days we could talk about transportation as well, but also write a letter to the secretary, which is of transportation, Buttigieg, and I hope I'm not pronouncing it wrong. But he also ran for president and did win, of course, but. He was the mayor of Indiana. Would be nice to have him on the air. So talk about transportation and the new package that they want to push through. So I hope to do better on getting these people more options to get around besides being an automobile, but that's just me.
Well, and I also think we need to talk to Uber. The other car sharing companies to make sure people who want to visit Seattle can find an acceptable acceptable sex for Uber.
Oh, sweet.
And then leave it on them. Yeah, and I would love to see something more strength to be developed in across the state.
Yeah, I would like to see it all across the country. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm so fortunate that our friends drove, see them and drove us away. For those who, you know, if you don't drive in this country, you're really a behind the eight ball. And looking at a van, it's cost prohibitive to own one, but I mean, I know Sean, you do, but it's like,
yeah.
I was looking at that the other day, and that's crazy.
Well,
how much those things cost?
I got a used one. A used one? And it was only $42. If you bought a brand new adjustable van, you're working at $60,000 to $70,000. And then you, after you buy that, you have to save money to buy another one. So you almost don't want it. You don't want to go anywhere. Because you don't want it to break down.
Because you haven't, you know, got to pay for it. You're scared that it'll break down even though you just bought it. That's the pit. Since I'm on the radio, I was going to say another word, but I won't.
Well, but you know how most people will buy a new car every 5 to 7 years. Most people don't have $70,000 every 5 to 7 years. So
right. That's basically a down payment on a house. Right? Or partial lease.
So
I mean, you know, but the other thing, it's crazy. That's nuts. But
no, I'm very careful how far I go on that. And I do travel on airplanes, so I have to hold it in time.
Yeah, one of these days we should talk about wheelchair travel. I found out recently that there's a new law, or somewhat old law, but they're thinking of readjusting it or doing something with it about carrying our wheelchairs. And, you know, and all those things. But maybe we could do a show on that someday. Someday down the road, which I have a lot to learn about air travel, which I got to be honest, bro, I'm looking forward to doing that sometime in the near future. But not until this COVID stuff gets a little bit better, because this new variant, please be careful with this new variant. I believe I'm pronouncing it correctly, Sean. You know, it's a little bit nerve-wracking.
Yeah, but I believe that if you have the vaccine, I would recommend if you don't have the vaccine yet, please do so, because if we get more people vaccinated, we will not have these new variants coming out. But we need to get most of the U.S. and most of the world vaccinated as bad as possible.
Yeah, like I kind of would love the fact of going somewhere and not worry about getting sick. What a concept. And what was it last? What was it? On the second in our state, in Washington State, that's where me and Sean live, and so does the producer. He lives on the other side of the state, a place called near Spokane. But opened it up, you know, doesn't mean be crazy. It just means that we opened it up. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens now.
Well, speaking of that, start coming up in about, 15, 16 days, will be the Olympic.
Go for it. And also, the Paralympics are exactly 2 weeks later. Those fine folks that are happen to be athletes that are in wheelchairs and other disabilities. One of the things that I'm hoping to find a way to do, Sean, is watch some of that on both ends of the stick. But the Paralympics, I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, but it will be on the NBC Universal Network. So NBC, MSNBC, CNBC, USA, I believe Bravo maybe. And also if you have Peacock, the new streaming service by NBC Universal, you can get it on demand. So there's a lot of different ways to watch it.
Wow. Yeah, we'll have to figure out which one we want to. Yeah, we might have to zoom that together and watch it together, you know, so we can be together.
Yeah, I've watched the Olympics since one of my 1992 and the first time I really watched the Olympics, and I've watched it ever since. And I love to watch the swimming, track and field. And
gymnastics.
And then in the winter time, so the Winter Olympics will be next year. And I like figure skating, hockey, and then
figure skating, hockey,
and downhill skiing. So that's fun.
Downhill skiing. That's a lot of fun.
What are your favorite sports to watch?
Anything with that supports the USA, I'm all over it.
Yeah.
So I hope we smoke. I like watching. I consider the best point guard in basketball, men or women, is Sue Bird. She can pass the ball better than anybody I've ever met. Like slicing through butter. I like watching her play. She plays for the number one team in the country in women's basketball, the Seattle Storm. Give a little love for my Storm. And even though I'm a man, I love watching the Storm play because they can smoke it. So I'm a homeboy when it comes to my team there. And I like basketball team. Now, our basketball team is kind of different. They use NBA players. And the NBA players, unfortunately, sometimes don't know. They get in trouble with calling traveling in the other game because in the NBA, they get away with it. They forget the national, they don't let you do that. So if we don't travel, we have to blow people out.
Yeah,
but it'll be us in Canada for the gold medal. I'm almost sure of it. In basketball,
both squads.
And the women haven't lost a gold medal since before. I mean, like I want to say like 35 years or something in the Olympics. I mean, it's like crazy. They're like UConn, never losing.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
So, what do you think about them having professional in the Olympics? How do you feel about that?
I was old school. I wish it wasn't, but it'll never change now that they did it. I liked it when I liked it when college kids gave a rip because they wanted to win, man. Not give a rip because they get so much money from their team. I still remember 1980. What did you say? You were born in 1980. What year?
79.
So, and when we won the gold medal in hockey with a bunch of high school kids, college kids.
Yeah.
And I still watch that movie and flip out. Because that's sports. That's why we watch this game. I mean, I don't know hockey from a hole in the wall, and I got a hockey team coming to town. I got a lot to learn, but team sports are better than sliced bread on a hot day. Cold Kool-Aid. I mean, they became a family. They all believed in one thing. Win. I mean, and we lose or we win together. I just thought it was the coolest thing. But they didn't start out that way, but they became that way.
Yeah.
There's one famous line in the movie, that movie, who do you play for? And the first part of they were doing, I play for you, coach, and not play for the USA on the bottom. The name in the front is more important than the one in the back. If we got to be that way again, we'd be kicking butt everywhere. As the president says, and I'm going to sound political for just a minute, there ain't nothing we can't accomplish. My wife should be more positive. This country's got great days ahead of us. And I believe that. I believe we got great days in the disability movement. And I'm glad to be here because, I mean, we got things to do, but we're going to do them just fine. Go USA. I'll predict over 100 medals for the United States. What do you think, Sean? You think I'm about right?
We will be a little bummer a little bit. But
I'm thinking over 100 medals for the United States. It'll be us, Russia, and Canada with the most. That's my prediction.
Yeah, but I would be good if the year in the American best. It was supposed to happen last year. But COVID.
Yeah, nothing happened last year. Last year was like a 365 days. Whoops.
So the only good news is you have both the summer and winter Olympics within the same year. Well, not within the same year. Within a one-year period, we have the Summer Olympics this month and the Winter Olympics probably next February.
It's February, right?
Yeah, I think.
It's February. But do you remember where the Winter Olympics is?
Beijing. Beijing.
Beijing. China. Oh, China.
Yeah.
That's interesting because that means Japan. Now the summer's in Japan. Am I right? Japan, right?
Yeah, it's like
China, yeah. China.
And
so we got about 5 more minutes left on my clock. I don't know what you got, but I just wondered if you had any last-minute things you wanted to talk about.
No, that was about it tonight.
Yeah. We got just a few minutes left, but about 5 minutes or so. But we'll be back with you next month. Let's see. The first Tuesday. It'll be August, believe it or not, already. And give me just a second, John. I'm asking you to stall.
I'm going to look at the first Tuesday of the month and see when that is.
I have it. August 3rd.
August 3rd. August 3rd, we'll be right here, and we'll get some other things together. We might have most of it will be live, I believe, but we will take some, I think, if everything goes well because of time frames for everybody else, the guests that we want, and all those kind of things. But first and foremost, we thank you for coming today, and I hope you very much enjoyed the show and enjoyed America's birthday. So happy birthday, America. And if you're interested to know who won the NBA game because you're watching us, the Phoenix Suns are in the first won the first round of the are in the last the game today in the championship. That's an interesting small story too, by the way. The Phoenix Suns a couple of years ago was the dog league of the league, and now they might win this whole thing. They were three games away from winning this thing, the NBA playoffs. So never give up. Never give up. Let's see. What else I was going to tell you? We have... so we'll be on the 3rd at 7 o'clock our time in the West. August 3rd. You can reach us through the Brain Injury Network. Our producer is great with that. And we'll love to hear from you. So we'll hopefully have a segment about reading some of the stuff that you guys wrote.
I'm bringing a very, very roll at the back. I do not know if I don't do anything.
No problem. But feel free to write us anytime. And we love to hear from you. And for the caller that called in earlier, thank you so much. And any last words from you, Sean?
Well, it's been fun hanging out with you, Michael, and you, Craig. And all of you, audience tonight. I look forward to coming back.
So I am going to close this out with a song, a goodbye song. It's actually called the outro. So here we go. Have a good night. And I'll close you out with a song and listen to the words because it's a good one.
Well, thanks so much, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
No, I love you, Madonna.